CliffCentral.com.
All right. Catherine Child is a journalist. She was at the Constitutional Court yesterday when the marijuana ruling came through. And I could see on TV news last night how excited everybody was. But you are listening to CliffCentral.com. It's the day after. There's been some time for people to take in this information. Don't know whether they're any more sensible about it or not. Catherine, it's a pleasure to speak to you this morning. How did it go yesterday at the court? Was it incredibly electric, the atmosphere? Were people excited? How did it feel to be in the room when all of this was announced?
Yesterday?
Yeah.
I never sat in the Constitutional Court and experienced that. When the judge started to read and it was clear that he was going to overturn the ban on private use, the court broke out into applause and started screaming. And a lawyer afterwards said he felt a bit awkward because this is the Constitutional Court. You sit in complete silence.
Yeah.
And there was just jubilation and screaming. About 4 or 5 times, the judge had to stop, wait, and then start again. And he didn't once complain at the screaming crowd.
You know, it's incredible. We've got the highest court in the land. It really is the most important part of the judiciary. These are the country's supposedly best judges. You have the best lawyers there, advocates who have done huge amounts of research and hard work behind the scenes. It's a serious place. And they've done very important things in the past, like overturn the death penalty and things like that. We've never had a celebration of this caliber.
Not at all. I mean, there were people shouting. There was a man shouting out Gareth Prince, who was one of the applicants, defeated Babylon. And then he was screaming, he defeated Goliath in the middle of the Deputy Chief Justice, Raymond Zondo, reading his judgment. And they kept breaking out into applause, which you don't really do in court, clapping and crying. But it was really fun. I mean, people, I haven't been in such a happy place for such a long time. People were crying.
Well, you cover a lot of serious stuff too. I mean, you don't expect when you go to court to be met with jubilation and excitement. You expect quite the opposite. You expect very severe things to happen and serious consequences to ensue. Was there any element of this which, I mean, I'm trying to get from, I had the Dacha couple in here a while ago. They take this fight very seriously. I know Gareth Prince has been taking this very seriously. He's a Rastafarian. Jeremy Acton, who brought the case, multiple government departments. Now, there were people who didn't want this to happen. What was their reaction?
Well, interestingly, they weren't there. So one of the parties that's involved in, there's two court cases, the one yesterday and the Dacha couple's separate case. And there's an organization called Doctors for Life that doesn't have a lot of doctors in it, actually. It's a religious organization, and they have opposed Dacha being legalized in any way in both court cases. They're very serious.
Yeah.
And they didn't even send an attorney yesterday that I saw. I mean, I may have missed them, but usually they come in. They've even bused protesters to court cases from KZN, where they beg to sing outside and talk about how drugs ruined their life. Not a soul was there yesterday. So,
do you think that they knew that this was going to be the outcome? I mean, that's the only possible explanation. And if that is the explanation, did someone tip them off? Just tell me some more about this Doctors for Life group. It sounds very, very intriguing.
They are intriguing. I don't know if they knew, but during the hearing, Edwin Cameron got quite annoyed with the Doctors for Life lawyer. And not because he disagreed with him, but he was just annoyed at his arguments. I don't think he was impressed with the level of legal arguing. So they may have had a sense, well, it didn't go so well in court. Maybe we shouldn't be there. But Doctors for Life is actually, and they won't tell you this, but if you do a bit of Googling, they are part of a mission, and it's a very extreme mission. It's not a normal Christian group, called Kwasi Zabantu, and they have a big farm in KwaZulu-Natal, and they produce Aquele water, that bottled water that we all buy.
Yes.
That's what funds them. And so Kwasi Zabantu has a drug rehab facility that was in the press a few years ago for being very extreme, and it had all sorts of terrible headlines.
Is it like that No-Put Christian Care Center in some way?
Yeah. You kind of get that feeling, although the people I met who were from there that they busted Pretoria for the other Dacha case didn't seem like they were being kept against their will. But it's the Sparkling Water, Aquile, that is funding this group, and they fund Doctors for Life, and Doctors for Life fights against every case that tries to decriminalize drugs. It's quite interesting.
So they're obviously the kind of people who say, well, your civil liberties come second to us knowing what's good for you.
Oh, absolutely. Look, the one woman was very well-meaning. They're very conservative. They dress in skirts above their knee, below the knee, and they look quite like missionaries from the 1900s.
Yeah.
But they just feel like in their communities where there's lots of poverty, that dacha is a gateway drug and it's going to destroy communities. And so they're really well-meaning and they feel that it's harmful. I'm not sure the evidence says that, but that is their experience in their communities.
Well, obviously there are lots of people who've had experiences where, you know, dacha has become a major problem and a social ill for them. But certainly, I suppose the Constitutional Court's overwhelming finding here is that people's right to privacy, this is very important, their right to privacy supersedes that you should be able to decide what you do with your own meat effectively and what you put into your body and what you imbibe in and what you don't. Is that more or less right?
Yeah, they actually use the word invasive to say that the state telling you what to eat and drink in your own house is overstepping the mark. But in terms of the harms of dacha, they actually said that the state has a right to limit your rights. If you commit a crime, it can limit your right to freedom.
Right.
Take away that right and put you in jail. The court actually said that the state had failed to make its case on why it must limit our rights and why it must be so invasive. And it quoted the High Court judgment's finding that called the state's case singularly unimpressive.
Wow.
So it wasn't convinced that dacha was so harmful it must be banned. And it made two other points. It said that the blunt force of the law does not help dealing, you know, putting people in jail for smoking a spliff is not the best way to reduce harms, even if there is abuse. And also that alcohol, which is free and legal at home, mm-hmm. is more harmful.
Yeah.
So it did look at the harms as well.
That's very curious. Did they use any interesting terminology? Were the judges very scientific? Did they use the word marijuana? What did they? How did they decide to describe this drug, which has so many colorful names?
They called it cannabis.
Oh,
quite
cannabis.
A boring judgment.
Okay. All right. Pity they didn't say it was weed brew.
Did it feel like the state's heart was in it? Because I'm serious. Like, who really, like, you mentioned the doctors, you know, having a pretty serious belief that it's
They're
bad.
They're not
and
doctors.
Whatever.
It's a, yeah.
Yeah, the organization
doctors for life, yeah.
But, I mean, I can't imagine some branch of the government just being super dedicated to fighting this good fight and coming in there and being like, right, you know, I'd be like, right, cool, well, it's my job to argue that this shit should be illegal, so it should be illegal, and the judge will be like, your case is weak, and I'd be like, yeah, I know, I'm going to go smoke
a blunt. Is that kind of how it felt, Catherine?
Well, it felt like, what was so interesting is that usually when they read a judgment in Concord, in my experience, one or two judges will come out. The person who penned the judgment will read it, uh-huh. and that's that, and they leave. Yesterday, every single judge was there. So they were obviously taking it seriously. I've never been in court when they all come for it to be read.
And there were no.
And they all agreed.
There were no dissenting judgments.
Not okay. One voice. And it's the first time, I'm not a legal journalist, but it's the first time I've covered a case that doesn't have a dissenting voice.
That's interesting. I love it. Well, thank you for filling us in. I want to invite you through to the burning platform one day, and we could talk about some of the other stories in the news. It's cool to talk to you.
I just want to ask real awesome. Quickly, if you know what the limitations are, like, you're obviously not allowed to take it with you in your car, have it in your pocket when you're out in public.
You can't sell, and you can't buy.
And you can't smoke in public, presumably.
And if they find you with too much, and they suspect that you are dealing, they can arrest you still.
But
is
I mean,
that right, Catherine?
Yeah, but you can have it in your pocket in any place that's reasonably expected to be private in a very small quantity.
Okay, so like if you pulled over for a routine check and you're driving somewhere and you've got a bankie in your pocket, they're not going to like arrest you.
You could argue that it's your right to privacy. I mean, it was specified in the judgment that he changed the ruling from you can do this at a private home to private, and he specified because he didn't want people with it in their pockets to step outside their house and suddenly be illegal.
Oh, cool.
So that's kind of clear. You can have a little bit on you.
Gord is only asking because he's got it with him right now. So
I
got
don't.
To watch him carefully.
Well, apparently that's legal too. There was an attorney yesterday emailing people saying you can have it at work. Just don't show it to anyone.
Yeah, or blaze it.
Isn't that interesting?
So you can't actually smoke it at work?
Nope.
Well, you could on the roof if no one else is around.
I would assume that the rules of smoking apply, like you have to be a certain distance away from the building. You probably can't do it near kids. I don't know. I'm interested to know exactly what the specifics are.
But we're going to have to find out a lot of this, right, Catherine? I mean, the fact is that like anything, the law is organic, and now we're going to have to see how it's executed and implemented. And there's going to be, just like there is with firearms and everything else, we're going to need guidance from the police as to what they consider to be some kind of imposition or overextension of your liberties, blah, blah, blah. The police have to figure that stuff out.
Yeah, the police and Parliament, and the judge actually said I'd be stepping on Parliament's toes if I made too many laws and if I specified how much you could have and what's too much. So he purposely left it open to leave the lawmakers to do their job. He said the police must show discretion and use their own discretion to decide, are you dealing or do you only have enough? But let's hope they're fair.
Yeah, I think the guiding principle at this point is that you are allowed to smoke it privately. You're allowed to have it in the privacy of your home. You're allowed to carry it around with you, provided it's not a huge amount. And if you are found to be dealing, i.e. buying or selling, that you are still in contravention of some laws.
Yep.
All right. Thanks very much, Catherine. Nice to talk to you.
You're
thanks.
Welcome.
Thanks very
cool.
much. Cool.
Good morning.
There we go. Very good. There's Catherine Child. She's cool. I like her. Sounded way more excited about the story than some of the journalists we speak to. It sounds like almost like they hate the assignment that they're on. It's great to hear that. All right. We got some news. We're going to get to some stories that are in the news. Here are a few emails that have come through and some messages. Gordon, can we please smoke now, says Matthew Harding. And Anonymous says, I'm waiting for my neighbor, the South African police captain, to leave for work, and then I'm going to smoke a big fat joint.
Don't wait for him to leave. Blaze it while he's outside doing his morning yoga. Hand it to him and offer him some.
There we go. Gord, I wouldn't bash bad cosplayers too much. Sometimes your talent can't match your ambition.
Probably. Oh, right, not mine, the cosplayer. No, but I do think some cosplayers properly rule, and that's why the ones who do a shitty job kind of bring down the vibe for everyone.
Speaking of cosplayers and dress-ups, Michelle says, for my cousin's 30th, she had a tea party. People were epic. There was a tampon, Target, Tokolosh, TV, toilet paper, amazing creativity. That's from Michelle. There are lots of jokes going around about the dacha. I see the trailer for Captain Marvel dropped yesterday. My younger brother poo-poos it, saying Marvel is copying DC, says Captain Marvel is the equivalent of Superman. Marvel versus DC household problems.
It's not a new character. Captain Marvel's been a thing for ages in the comics, and now they're just making a movie about it. Set in the 90s.
Right. Okay, I want to know what you'd save from your house. Seriously, if you had a Hurricane Florence bearing down on you, and you only had 5 minutes... and you had to save three things from your house. Seriously, if you think about it now, it could actually be practically useful for you to figure this out now so that you know when it does happen, if it does happen, and I hope it doesn't, what you're going to save, what you'll rescue. Keep family and animals out of it, because obviously those things for many people would trump. The answer's not going to be exciting. I'd like to know what else you would rescue. Any ideas?
Yeah, it'd be so simple because... Well, I don't know. Like
your ID? Would that be important?
No.
Because you've got your wallet. That's going to be on your person, right?
Well, okay, here's the thing. I don't want to sound crazy, but our family home is in Durban. And because, of course, I don't live there day to day, I have collected a bunch of my most prized possessions and actually have a box at home. And I've always said to them, you can throw everything out, you can like move my stuff
around. Put someone else in your room.
Whatever, I really don't mind. But if heaven forbid as well, in an instance, like there was a fire or something were to happen.
You would rescue this trommel.
This like make sure nothing ever happens to this box. So I take.
What's in your trommel, Sia? What's in there?
What is in there? I'm a sentimental person, so there's a bunch of like my...
School yearbooks?
Yes, a bunch of that.
All right. Okay.
Bunch of my photos. There is the... Oprah, of course, has a magazine, and every single month, it's all her on the cover. But she... she only had like two people on her cover apart from her. So there's the O magazine with Oprah and Michelle Obama. Then there's the O magazine with Oprah and Ellen DeGeneres. And then there's my Michael Jackson Live in Germany DVD.
So those are like my short answer.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Thanks no, for the sarcasm. No,
but the enthusiasm on Sia's face is worth these, every second.
Yeah, I'm telling
these
you,
the things these are he like cares the, about. But
the
this,
different.
By
things.
The way, by now Sia has burnt up to a crisp himself.
But I want
to
know whether that counts as
that for the box. Second disaster to pull us out.
Does that count as one thing or many things? Do you, in the spirit of Gareth's question, do you have to open the box and pick three things from within the box?
No,
I can't just say I've got a house full of all my favorite stuff, so I take that.
No. Come on, it's got to be stuff you can actually remove in time. So, how big is this trauma of yours?
It's a standard
like a suitcase
box situation. Okay. Yeah, it's like an official like cardboard box.
Yeah, you better save that because that'll burn like a...
Yeah, that'll be a problem.
Hellfire.
It's all right. Yeah, it's hella tricky because, you know, there's a few things that are quite sentimental to me but given to me by people I care about. But for the most part, those people are still around and could write me another very meaningful letter.
Okay.
I would get my computer because I'm not great at backing up and like to have to lose a lot of what's on there would be a huge, huge screw up. It's not sentimental. I don't really care about it, but I need the work.
Sure.
Then my teddy bear, Billy Bumble Bear, that I got when I was 5, who's been my homie ever since.
Oh, my God.
And sleeps on my side table next to my bed.
Billy's
in good nick and he's my oldest homie. And then my signed Metallica pictures. I got a few. But that's more than one object, but I'd put them on top of each other and hold them in one hand, so that counts as one
I'm
thing.
Still stuck on Billy.
Such
Billy's
an interesting
cute.
Kind of topic.
Billy like, Bumble Bear.
Yeah, Billy's the best. I got him when my tonsils were out when I was 4 turning 5. So Billy's 33, and he's awesome. Looks like a Care Bear without a picture on the front. It's like a straight Care Bear. It's exactly what
it
looks like.
It's a straight Care Bear.
He's a concern bear.
Wait, it's on... It's on the side of your bed right now.
Right now, as I speak, it's on. I got two sides because I'm single and have a queen size bed. So I've got a side table on each side of the bed. And the one is like where my water and my shit is, stuff that I actually interact with. And on
the
left
is, the total
is a little Bluetooth speaker and Billy Bumble
Bear. How do lady friends take to that when they come over?
I am not going to discuss anything about what happens when lady friends come over. Okay, but historically, since Billy predates. My losing of virginity, women have always thought it was endearing. It's not like it's just a little teddy bear on the corner of my bed.
I'm guessing you watched the movie Ted and you really wanted that to happen to you.
I feel like the relationship I've had with Billy that happened to me when I was very young.
Ben, what would you say?
It's interesting because the fault of sounding materialistic and very shallow, I wouldn't save anything. I would just have my drone, my
You're the
camera.
Opposite of materialistic then. I mean, you can...
No, I would save my drone because I've invested so much in this fucking thing, which I keep crashing and fixing.
But that's a high-value thing, right? Yes. So I didn't include those because insurance will replace that shit. Like, if you got an exact same drone as the one that you've got, would you be equally happy with it?
I've never done insurance. I hate those fuckers.
Okay.
All right. So I'd take my drone, I'd take my camera, and I'd make sure that my phone and wallet's on my person.
That's very practical.
No, it's just that like everything in life, I think the best is always in front of me. I've got great memories, and I've got like boxes of like, I remember the first magazine article I ever wrote, as in the first bit of money I got for writing words in a sentence. I've got magazines like that.
What was that? Where was it and what was it about? I've also got mine, that's why I asked.
It was probably a Sports Illustrated column. Anyway,
You aren't attached to that.
No, like I'm okay. Because
these also that you can get an electronic copy these days. It's really not.
No, you can't. It's try working at a Media 24 magazine for 10 years and they lose all the digital copies.
Oh, they've lost everything.
You cannot replicate a South African FHM unless someone's got one.
Yeah, it's like nothing excites me about having those things. I have them. Yeah. And I haven't thrown them away. They're there, and it's kind of cool to uncover them and look at them, all that kind of stuff. But tomorrow is going to be a better day than today.
Yeah, I like that.
And I have a drone, a camera, and my phone that's going to
You look forward, you don't look back.
I've got lots of that stuff as well, and it was like difficult to make the decision. And if I really thought about it, I'd have to like, you know, like for example, my passports as well. That's a huge amount of admin. But I've got like photos of old friends that from the photo era when you got shit developed and whatever that aren't in digital format that I'd really hate to lose. But I still think...
I always like the memories that everyone in my past was amazing. If you keep looking at pictures, you go, actually, no, fuck that.
Billy the Metallica pictures and...
Gareth, are you this Ben school of thought or Gordon Eyes?
Oh, yes. There's so much that you can replace. And material possessions, really, I'm not that... Yeah,
gadgets and shit like look, that. My I nice think, things I don't care about.
I think to have
about.
My phone would be important because I've got...
But can we take for granted that the things that are ordinarily in your pocket are still in your pocket? Yeah, sure. Your keys, your wallet, your phone.
But I've got... The problem is I collect stuff, right? And therefore...
You've got very volatile chemicals that will destroy the world if set on fire. Please get your irradiated kryptonite out of the cupboard.
Allegedly.
I have to watch that, so that would be a priority if there was a fire or a natural
evacuate
disaster.
The combustible radiation.
Put them in the bunker. But I collect coins, I collect swords, collect little
you
bits
collect
and pieces.
Collect swords. Yeah. I know about some of the stuff you collect, but swords.
I've got some fairly valuable to me. I mean, they're not intrinsically valuable paintings, but I got some sculptures and little things that, you know, they're stuff that, I don't know. I mean, I would be hard pressed to choose. I think I'd just have to let it all go.
You've once spoken about this gift that your brother got you for the World Cup. It's a book.
Oh yeah, it's
with
a book.
Different,
of, but yeah, that yeah,
it does that doesn't the, does really compare. The question that if we can identify these things, they should at all stages be very
with
close
us.
To our front door. So we should having been to your house, as you walk in on the right, there's like a waiting area, library, study kind of thing. Then your three things must at all times
live in that room.
Because this is practical.
Or just keep it all in the box.
Like, but your box needs to be near your entrance here somehow.
That's usually where it is. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, moving on.
Score, you cannot control
I got the. I also got like Man United signatures when I met the team in 92, 93. Like it's impossible, actually. The more you think about it, it's like.
Because you'll drive yourself crazy. Yeah. That's why the point that I got to when I was doing this exercise once is that you've got to let it all go. Even the admin stuff, like IDs, you can get that sorted out again.
But you know what? It should be funny to put this to a test. Whether you live with someone or a family or whatever, do a drill today. Go, right, you've got 3 minutes, stopwatch, and see what you come out with. Send them in the house.
Like Reggie's Rush, but of your own shit.
Like a Reggie's Rush of your own shit. And everyone stands there, and someone comes out of the house with their three things, and then you can absolutely ridicule them. And you go, you pick that?
Yeah, you pick
I
that
always
rubbish.
I used to watch Reggie's Rush, and I'd be like, why don't these idiots go straight to the electronic stuff, the Sega Mega Drives, the games, the high-value items, get the most expensive stuff in your trolley, even if it's 20 of the same thing, and then afterwards sell that shit and buy plush toys.
Yes, exactly. Like, they used to fill those trolleys with it's rubbish. Having said that, you would have saved Bumble Bear.
Yeah, Billy's irreplaceable.
So
but
don't give us that, you hypocrite.
True. Yeah, sorry. I'm such a hypocrite for loving my teddy bear.
All right.
And your articles.
Yeah, I wanted to play you something before we get time.
I have all of that as well.
Sean is on the line, and we've got some other people we want to talk to in a moment. Sean, what's up?
Morning, guys.
Hey, dude, what would you save? Go ahead.
So it'll only really be one thing. I've got this framed. It's quite large. This framed thing that I got from my parents that comes from my grandparents. So it's my granddad's military photo from World War II.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmum, it's a piece of paper that states a property that we used to own somewhere close to Nazna. There's some old money in there. You know, that's a sentimental thing for me. That's not something you can replace by insurance or whatever. So that's really the only thing. And maybe I've got an 1890 Edwardian Marquette side chair. Those two things. That would be it. The rest of the stuff can not burn. Insurance will sort that out.
I have just thought of one thing. There's a book I've got that was printed in 1614. I might save that.
Wow.
Yeah, I might pull that out of the fire.
Oh yeah, you showed me that. Yeah. That thing is that is literally irreplaceable. No one can ever make a new one of those.
All right, Sean, that frame sounds kind of cool with that military stuff.
Yeah,
that sounds
very
cool. All right, dude.
Very cool.
All right, man.
Anyway, guys, thanks. Cool. Thanks for a great show.
All right, I just want you to hear something quickly. This is a woman in Cape Town who is screaming and shouting. There was some incident at the convenience store. And this woman like trashed the convenience store, and then she went back to her car, and they started asking her what happened. And this is her reaction. I just thought that this is first of all very typically South African, that someone who has done bad things will react as if it's someone else's fault. And second of all, the style and tone of her language is very unique as well. Listen to this. You tell me if you know people who talk like this. All right, this is the woman who was.
You don't need to be like that.
I want to what I want to. Fuck you.
What did I do to you?
Fuck all the fucking freedom. Fuck all freedom. Fuck
all freedom. Yeah.
Hey, let me fucking laugh, man. Fuck off. What do you say?
Ma'am.
Hey, Jay. Jay, we know what's going on. So, wreck your back now.
That's full Murr strippage. Yes. That's when your Murr is 100% stripped and you can't contain yourself.
Is she even alive after that?
She trashed the convenience store. Let me remind you. She's the one to blame. These guys, God bless them, have been so calm. It reminds me a little bit of Vicky Momberg. You know, when you shout and scream and rant and rave like this, it's always so undignified, but...
She doesn't sound okay.
You don't need to be like that.
I want to what I want to! Fuck you!
She said, I will do what I want to.
Fuck you!
But I mean, that sounds a little bit like meth's involved. Something smack of meth, and that smacks of meth.
Jeez, to lose your temper she like that.
Cross, man.
What did I do to you?
I take that reaction.
Yeah, fuck off.
She's accusing him of eating pork.
I don't know what's going on, but I did find it entertaining.
Jeez.
Oh, that's some very angry Tunny.
And based on him asking, what did I do to you, it sounds as if she's cucking on the wrong person. Like,
yeah, I don't think there's rhyme or reason here, Gord. I think she's just emotional.
I would not be able to stop myself from further antagonizing a person like that.
Would you like to? Because she's the kind of woman who might just pull out a knife or something. Dude, I heard the most horrible, horrible story the other day about a guy who pulled up at the airport to pick up his son. And there was an Uber driver who took his parking. So he got out of the car to go over and ask the Uber driver, like,
locally.
Yeah, this happened here. And the Uber driver had a knuckle duster on and hit him in the face, and the guy is brain dead. If there's any lesson in that, and I sometimes get, I try not to anymore, and podcasts have helped me with this, but I sometimes get a little bit of road rage.
Yeah.
It is not worth it.
No.
Ever.
I've also worked hard at that.
Jesus.
Don't take it personally.
You don't know what the person in that other car is going through, what they're capable of.
I mean, look, to play devil's advocate, Uber drivers are under constant threat in this country.
They need to
be able to defend themselves.
Right.
So if it was a case of an Uber driver possibly thinking he was being like now going to be assaulted as
by a taxi driver, or whatever. I mean, they get set.
But
on
if it's
fire
just a case of
cars.
Like you took my parking, no, fuck you, it's my parking.
Not worth it.
Oh, what
right?
are you going to do about it? Yeah. Then I mean, you don't hit someone with a knuckle duster. You can if you want to fight somebody, you don't need a bat or a stick or whatever. If you have to get into an altercation, give the man a good old knuckle
sandwich.
No,
but the point is the rules of engagement don't exist in this world because you don't know what he has in his car with him.
Don't use a weapon, though.
No, just don't get involved. Wherever possible, try to avert disaster by not engaging.
I agree with you completely.
Just don't engage.
I completely agree with you, but I'm saying if fisticuffs do, like boots in nightclubs, whatever, like now you're going to get in a fight with an oak and that's now going to go down and oaks are taking off their shirts and getting into argy-bargy and tuning each other. Why get out a weapon if you're going to have to, like,
Gord, you're talking to the unreasonable people now because those kind of reasonable people, they don't even fight anymore.
Why hit an oak in the face with a metal object when you can give him a clap around the ear?
I've heard horrible stories about guys who get into an argument and it looks like the fight is over and then someone comes back with a knife or a gun or something. You don't want to get involved.
Yeah.
Seriously.
No.
Just assume everybody you meet on the road
is potentially going to kill you.
Is a really well-trained serial killer. Just avoid them at all costs. Seriously, it's not worth it.
I completely agree.
You don't need it. And I've got to remember that. You've got to remember it. We've all got to just steer clear.
And the sooner you learn to not take things personally, you learn to try, because it's impossible to get it right 100%, but as soon as you learn to to not take it personally, the better your life becomes. You stay angry about a guy that cut you off, and then, but 90% of the time, that person's not even aware you existed. They just didn't check their blind spot, right. And they're off. They've turned left when you went straight. They don't even know there was ever a person they cut off, and you stay pissed off with them for the whole rest of your drive with a person who's like doesn't exist for all intents and purposes.
And you get your blood pressure up, and you get cancer eventually for the stress, and it's not worth it. All right, quickly, Anushka says, I would only take my Stilnox and my repeat prescription if my house was on fire. That is all.
Pretty sure you could get another repeat prescription.
Yeah, I think that's a silly thing to take. And Mr. Schmangels says, most importantly, I would save my stash of weed. I would bring only that, my phone, and my signed copy of Trevor Noah's book, Born a Crime. The other stuff can just burn.
You don't want your that must be some seriously dank weed if it's more important than your baby photos.
To clarify for Sia, says Ankia, varkgevreet, that thing that woman said, actually is an insult about how you look. It's like pig face.
You're a dirty pig.
Yeah. Oh, pig face. Varkgevreet.
Well, it still doesn't take away from the fact that she needs to chill.
But it literally, I mean, I'm asking, like, it literally sounds like it literally means you've been eaten by a pig, which makes sense if you're calling someone really ugly.
All right, let me tell you something that is useful. Smart Money is a series of financial tips for different life stages. Maya Fisher-French, you will have met her on the television before. She is the host. She speaks to various experts as they help us to find the answers to pressing financial questions like financial wellness, saving for retirement, making sure you have the correct healthcare, navigating the gig economy, saving from a millennial perspective, how to get married and how, well, not how to, but how getting married affects your financial future, and a whole lot more. Smart Money is brought to you by Discovery, getting your money right for your life. The show that plays out every Wednesday at 9 a.m. And by the way, there are 12 episodes of the podcast that are available, so you can binge listen to them like you binge watch Netflix on cliffcentral.com, on the app, and anywhere you get good podcasts. Have you listened to any of these, Gord? You need to.
Yeah, very helpful. And especially as a person like myself that has good intentions with that kind of thing but needs guidance.
Right. And you can find it all. Yeah,
so practical and useful.
Plus, Maya Fisher-French is so good at this stuff that she really is exactly the right person to host it. We put that together with Discovery. It's very good.
Because it seems daunting, that sort of stuff, until somebody explains it in terms you can understand, and then it's suddenly like, oh, right, that's not so impossibly complicated, and it's easy to make meaningful changes.
Well, what happened here is that the whole team who were involved in producing this all started implementing these changes in their own financial lives, and it's already reaping rewards.
Yeah.
So you can get this going for yourself. Just go on to cliffcentral.com to find out more and look up Smart Money. You'll find the whole series. There are a bunch of series that we're launching, and we'll tell you more about the rest of them in the next few days. I want to talk about Sport for Social Change. That's SSCN, the Sport for Social Change Network South Africa. It's a vibrant, sustainable network consisting of civil society, private sector, academia, and government organizations who are active in the field of sport for development and peace. Those sound like big goals, but luckily for us, Alan Williams is here and Hendrik Modise is here, and they're both from SSCN to tell us about what the work entails, what the organization's all about. Welcome, both of you gentlemen. Thank you so much for coming to see us this morning.
Thank you, Gareth, for having us.
Obviously, we live in a country where sport's a big deal. And where people love sport, it's a way for them to relax. It's a way for them to get passionate and inspired about things. And sport's really something a lot of South Africans have in common. But is it able to create social change? That's the question. And you guys obviously believe it can. Can you tell me more?
Yeah. Well, Gareth, thanks again for having us on the show.
Sure.
well, I think 1995 was a good example of the power of sport.
What happened then?
We won the Rugby World Cup. We beat New Zealand. We beat New Zealand like we did last week, Saturday.
Yeah.
But, we were at a very difficult time in the history of South Africa. And, Mandela wearing that jersey.
Sure.
Everything aligned. And we see the stadium, Ellis Park, filled with black, white, Indian people. Mm-hmm. We had some other flags, but we had mostly the South African, the new South African flag.
Yeah, sometimes sports given people an excuse to divide themselves.
True,
of course.
So that's one of the things. And I think of recent, the United Nations have also seen that the power of sport. So in many North African countries, they are actually using sport as vehicles to broker peace. So sport is a great metaphor, you know, whether it's football,
sure,
to use some of the principles to bring people together. And we've seen that happen. We know that we are a sport-loving country, you mm-hmm. know. So I think we need to, as the SSCN, which we were founded by Nike in 2007.
Okay.
And so we head up the Southern African network, but our hope is to expand the network across the African continent. We have other organizations similar to us, Street Football World, which is massive. They're based out of Berlin. And obviously, they've got the contract with FIFA to run the Football for Hope Villages. So Russia, we had World Cup Russia. And normally what happens is that parallel to the World Cup taking place, we have this Football for Hope Villages where it's around youth development, mm-hmm. skills transfer, and so on.
I remember we had something similar even in 2010 when we had the World Cup. Correct. Here. I remember going to visit some fields that Nike had put up in
Alexandria.
In Alexandria Township. That's quite right. And they showed me about these clinics that they'd, you know, they showed me what they were doing in these clinics where they were letting young people come in and learn football skills. They had professionals there giving them masterclasses. They had coaches. They had feeding schemes, all kinds of things to get people involved in sport by providing them with all the things that maybe the rest of their lives didn't provide. So you're talking about a top-down when you talk about the symbolism and the fact that it's a uniting force, but you're also talking about the bottom-up stuff where you go into communities and you actually make a difference.
Right.
So I've got a good feel for what SSCN is now. How did you get involved, both of you?
Okay. Actually, I only started in 2015, so I haven't been long with the organization. 3 years is not long, but mm-hmm. Ellen will be the one who will be best suited to come up to explain
more. What made
more.
You? What made you want to get involved?
He needed a job.
To be honest, I just saw there's an opportunity where I can come and grow SSCN with Mr. Williams. Because I also run an organization that is also affiliated to Sports for Social Change Network, mm-hmm. where I saw the need for kids in the township to be able to get that access of getting be able to participate in sport, participate in physical education, that it's not longer in township schools, you know, to go to private school to get a physical education, have participation on weekly basis. There isn't even equipment, but then since then government has also provided equipment into the township school. But uh-huh. the challenge with that is, with that equipment being supplied, there isn't anyone who's making sure that those equipments are utilized out to the kids during...
In other words, they sit in some room
exactly.
and they gather dust.
So they do gather dust. So now we go and approach the school, the township schools, and say, now there's a need for kids to be active. And right. So now we also with SuperSport, there's this competition that they run, the physical education Let's Play, where they go into schools. But then that I saw also as an opportunity that's not something that they can only see on TV, but then it's something that they can also participate in it.
Right.
But the what was amazing on that day was I managed to apply for the schools to be part of it. And then luckily SuperSport responded and they went to township in Mabopane, where I'm from. Now, what we've noticed as well is that the kids, unfortunately, as young as they are, they were not physically active at all. They couldn't even run for 5 minutes.
But this is a problem all over the world, right? I mean, this is a major
True.
Problem because people don't engage in physical activity. They're not fit. They're sedentary. They're sitting in front of screens mostly. So it's bad whether you're rich or poor, whether you're black or white, whether you're old or young. It seems to be a problem for everybody in South Africa.
Absolutely. I think a few years ago, sorry, I don't want to say where you were, I think you released the stats that you said we are the second fattest country in the world behind the US.
Yeah.
So,
is that true, by the way? I think it still is. I know it was at the time.
I stand to correction. I'm not really sure. But if you take the amount of money our government is spending on health issues in the country, public, you know, and let's not talk about the health sector, how could we channel that into proper stuff that we need in the country? So the thing is this, you know, there's so many issues we face in the country right now, Gareth, you know, and I think sport, and I think that's why we've come today as well, because there's two events that we want to talk to you about.
Sure.
That's quite critical. And, you know, obviously the Department of Sports and Recreation there, vision is an active and winning nation. You know, and these two events, the National Big Walk and the National Recreation Day, are the two events that are taking place in October. And the whole aim there is to get the nation moving. Right. You know, if you look at me, I need to drop a few
me
more
too.
And look
Don't
like
panic.
You.
Yeah, no, I need to get there too. Got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
So tell me about the big walk for a start, and then we'll talk about National Recreation Day.
Right. The big walk is taking place on the 7th of October, uh-huh. Heartfelt Arena. That's where we will start. There right. are three categories, the 5-kilometer, 10-kilometer, and 15-kilometer walk. It is absolutely free.
I could walk for 5 kilometers.
Well, we would like
I'll
to
challenge
have you,
you to
VIP.
Go for 15.
No, I'm thinking in my head because I certainly couldn't run 5 kilometers, but I could walk it.
But if you think you can run it, if you think you can run 5, it no. means you can walk 15.
No, I can walk 5. Let's start with baby steps. I'm not going to put myself out there. Yeah. So you want people to come and join? Is there an entry fee?
There's no entry fee, Gareth. The only challenge we have now is that registration has closed. Okay. Oy. However, I know it's like defeating the purpose why we're here. However, if they want more information, they could obviously we'll give you the contact details
sure.
where they can contact us afterwards. But it's free.
People can go and support, maybe be a part of it. You could walk
but,
the.
But here's the thing. Last year, we have close to about 30,000 people in Pretoria coming out. But
Fantastic.
We want to send a message not only to... Because these events seems to be, when it's government-driven or NGO,
sure.
it's one side of the population. But we encourage all people from Pretoria really to come out with their families and be part of the walk.
It's
and
October.
It's
the weather's beautiful. It's a nice way to spend the day. You get to see other people. You get to interact with communities. You know, you're not staying in your house being boring.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So that's the big walk.
Yeah.
What about National Recreation Day? Is that something we can all still join in?
Yeah, on the National Recreation Day, it takes place at Union Building on the 5th of October.
Okay.
Now, that is also open for everyone. There's no fee that needs to be paid to come there. And on the day, there will be all sorts of activities that will be happening. It will also cater. It's more of a family day out, so as with a big walk.
Lovely.
There'll be a kids corner, so the kids as young as 3-4 years of age, they are more than welcome to come mm-hmm. in. They come with parents. We as SSCN will be running recreational activities because
right.
we are a recreational activity organization, so
sure.
that's what we specialize in. So there will also be recreational activities. There'll be yoga there'll be trampoline, there'll be South
nice.
African Defense
South
Force will also be there doing obstacle courses, and they'll be issuing out certificates for those that manage to complete the course as well.
Nice.
Everything of that is free, and there'll be theme of the day, which I stand to be corrected, it could be skipping on the day. So they will have one of our SSCN's fitness trainers that will be doing skipping on the day
cool.
with the masses on the day. So it's just one of the greatest day outs so that we can come in commemoration with the 100-year centenary of Nelson Mandela and Mama Sisulu.
Right. So this is all happening on what's the date?
National Recreation Day is the 5th of October, starting at 8 o'clock at the Union Buildings.
Right.
And the National Big Walk is on the 7th of October, which is the Sunday.
All right, and so there's a weekend of activity.
Weekend of activity.
That sounds
Gareth.
Very good. What can you tell me about the kinds of people who come to these events, and what kind of people do you want to come to these events? Everybody?
Look, this is not an exclusive club. It's for everybody.
Right.
It's basically we want to encourage families. Like I said, you know, in the past, it seems that we have only one side of society coming, but as Sport for Social Change, one of our things is looking at social cohesion. So if people can come out black, yeah. white, Indian colored, join us.
Well, you're talking about Sport for Social Change, so it's not the actual physical activity that you're after. You want
exactly.
the result of that physical activity, which is that you want people to interact, to make friends, to speak to each other, to be a part of the community.
Yes, very much so. And to add on to that, we've also extended it to, like Ellen has said, with everyone is invited. We also went on to invite the people with disabilities. We've been engaging with a school in Hammanskraal with it's a school of deaf students. So so those learners will also be part of it, of the event as well. People with disabilities, they are also more than welcome to join in on the day.
So, Alan, you still haven't told me how you got involved.
Well, Gareth, I was with Ashoka, an international organization, civil society, and my predecessor, Thomas Adams, who was heading up the SSN back then had to go back to Germany. And so I'd spoken to Nike and the German government, GIZ, and we discussed it, and I came on board to be part of the network. And so since 2010, I've been with the SSN. It's, you know, with civil society, it's never an easy road. It's always, no, you gotta bring in the funding to sustain the network and the NGOs. But the work is great. We are very happy as well, because we are also now one of the, in the steering committee with UNESCO, looking at, you know, high level policy areas for South Africa with regards to sport and recreation and that sort of thing. So
what kinds of things would you like government and civil society to do to help you in achieving these goals? Because I understand what you mean and what the name of your organization is, Sport for Social Change, and I get a rough idea of what's needed there, but what would help you guys? I mean, what would be great if government perhaps were more involved in trying to see that physical activity became a part of the curriculum again? I mean, what would be a first prize situation for you?
Well, I must say that we've got quite a great support from the Department of Sport.
Okay.
But where government can really come on strong is that it's physical education is currently in some areas non-existent, Gareth. Mm. And you know, I don't want to tell you my age, you probably see the gray hair. Pre-1994, physical activity and education, it was mandated. Every child had to play. You know, the white PTs.
I think we had it twice a week.
Something like that. Your PT shorts and your white shirt, and you had to do it.
It didn't really make me happy, but I kind of did it anyway. Yeah, I'm with you.
So the will to do things is there, but I don't know. I think it rests on leadership, Gareth. And if we can just get past the bureaucracy and all the mudslinging, and there is resources there. And I just think that we need to get the right people for the job to come on board and drive physical education. Because, you know, there's Nike came up with this research called Design to Move. It's you can download it. Michelle Obama is one of the champions in the US.
She was a big promoter of this kind of thing when she was first lady.
Right.
And remains so.
Right. So all that information's online, and it shows that the importance of physical activity for a child between the ages of 6 and 10, it's the window of opportunity. So if that child is physically active at that age, there's a good possibility that they will get good grades in school, probably go to university, and become an active citizen. And that life trajectory, and it's been proven, so it's scientific. So if our people in our country can really take this to heart and say that in every school, we need to get physical education back into the schools, because it has a number of positive impact on children.
I love it. I think what you're doing is terrific. And I'm very glad to hear that we've got two big events that we can all be part of on the 5th and 7th of October. Find out more. Is there a website? Is there you guys active on social media?
Oh, yeah.
Where can we send people to if they want to know more?
Yes, we are very much active on social media, and we do also have a website. Our website page is www.sscn.co.za, and we are very much active on social media, which is Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and YouTube. Our Facebook page is Sports for Social Change Network Africa. Mm-hmm. Our Twitter
is at SSCN_SA.
Right.
And on Instagram, it's Sport for Social Change Network. So, I mean, and then also they can just contact us, if I may say, info@sscn.co.za. But one of the broad things, just before we go, Gareth, is that the campaign that runs, this should not just be seen as an event.
No, sure.
South Africans need to really look.
You got to start with something, right?
You got to start with something. So the hashtag, Gareth, that's going out, and maybe you want to put a challenge out to you and your listeners as well, that if it's a hashtag, I choose to be active, how about you? And we want to say to whoever's listening there that maybe they can, from now until October, take some pics, put it on Facebook.
Talk to Gord Laws. I mean, talk
maybe
to
you can
Ben.
Do some press-ups and sit-ups and put it on. And we challenge South Africans to do the challenge.
Do something active, you lazy sons of bitches.
So
Yeah, and
poor Alan is like, that's not what I came here for. I didn't come here to be called a lazy son of a bitch. I'm talking to everybody else who isn't doing anything.
Yeah, and Gareth, it's a campaign that runs from, because October is National Recreation Month.
Right.
But because now everything...
You hear that, Gord?
Yeah. Yeah, national... Hey, I've got an Instagram account for my fat guy's exercise, trying to get in shape. It's called Hippo Mode. Hippo_mode. So, actually, the gym was like, I go into beast mode, bro. And you're a bit beast mode at the gym. So, I'm like, okay, well, hippos are beasts. So, Hippo_mode. And I will use your hashtag. What is it again?
Hashtag, I choose to be active. How about you?
How about you?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I will add that hashtag. And show that fat bastards actually can exercise, and I do.
And Sia will represent the thin people.
Yes.
I'm fairly active. I'm going hiking this weekend. I'd like to think I am.
Wow,
yes,
look at that. Yeah. See, you're already inspiring us.
Great. Gareth, will you come out as one of us? not to walk. We were asked to ask you, like, what do you drink, and would you like to come out as one of our VIP guys
you
at
know
the tent?
What?
Meet the Minister of Sports and maybe have a chat with her.
I'm fairly active in my life already, and I do appreciate what you guys are doing here. It's not going to help you to have me there because I'm not going to be running or walking or any of that stuff. And
I'm trying to be strong.
You know, we're all trying, right, Alan? I mean, we're all. You were complaining just now. I complain all the time about it. I promise you, I'm trying.
Those biceps are looking quite big.
It's all for show. It's all for show. Hendrik, you.
Your biceps are all for show.
Yes, I am, because I'm going to do... I'll be walking 15 kilometers, and I do 5 kilometers every morning before I get to the office. So I try to be active.
That's very impressive. I think
I try.
Just be the winner in the room. I think you are.
Really?
Gentlemen, thank you so much. Alan Williams is the network director, and Hendrik Modise is the program manager, both of them at SSCN. You heard where you can get them on social media and on their website. And if you need any more info... Do contact them. Two big events coming up in October. It's also Recreation Month. So see if you can inspire someone around you to get active, and let's get our society right from that point of view. Sounds like a good idea.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Gareth.
Let me wrap it up with the un-news for this morning so that you know what's going on in the world. And then we will go to an interview I had with Proverb, one of my very dear friends, a guy I've worked with for many years in television, and a really interesting life story too. So stick around for that. That's coming up next. And a lineup of incredible programming this Wednesday just for you on cliffcentral.com. First things first, here's what you need to know. Personal use of cannabis in your home is no longer illegal in South Africa. The Constitutional Court made this ruling yesterday, and with that, scores of people across the country lit up in celebration. There was, however, confusion if homeless people could do the same, as the world is ultimately their home. I mean, what do we know? A new travel app is about to take the world by storm. It's called Spouse Advisor. It's the brainchild of Malusi Gigaba's wife, Norma. Having traveled the world on the South African taxpayer's dime, she thought it would be best to share her experiences and review the places that you will never be able to afford to see. Just another way that the government is trying to give back to the people while reminding them that they're ultimately inferior compared to them in their government, blue light brigades and first-class planes. And finally, Pitso Musimane is facing an assault charge. Yes, following Sundown's disappointing draw over the weekend. A security guard from the stadium is claiming Musimane struck him in the face, but the coach denies these allegations. He did, however, threaten to hit the man again if he carries on with the case. All right, we will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Have an excellent day in the company of cliffcentral.com. Thank you to our guests this morning. Thank you to you. Cliffcentral.com.